And we left off with verse number 12 last week in our study of chapter 3, where the apostle is telling Colossians here. But not only is he telling the Colossians, this also includes us. In other words, he's talking to us as well, to where we are to put off the old man and to put on
the new man.
The new man. Absolutely. Briefly, if we can just take a brief excursion, the apostle is addressing the chosen or the believers in Christ. Put Colossians 12 on the screen, please. We're said that we are saints, where we are holy or blameless or consecrated, meaning the term saints is applied to who? Who are saints?
We are.
We are, absolutely. And we are meaning... There you go. Every child of God, every person that has chosen Christ as their Lord and Savior, you are now considered a saint.
Thank you, Jesus.
And redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the apostle starts off, and you look at verse 12, he starts off by saying to put on. Notice the action of the word to put on, where we said last week that this describes a deliberate act to where we are to actively engage in demonstrating these characteristics, those characteristics right there, from a position of a changed heart as a result of being called the elect, holy, and beloved of God. Recall that we said that this transformation from actively, remember, we said you are actively stepping out of the old man to where you are shedding yourself. You are getting rid of all the characteristics of the old man. And then now what are we doing? We're putting on all of the characteristics of the new man, right? Oh, come on, somebody. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. It is a once-in-a-lifetime process? It is ongoing. It is every day. It is a daily process or our sanctification that requires, now get this, somebody, it requires persistence, it requires dedication, and it requires commitment and an acknowledgement to recognize that you can do this all by yourself, right? You need the Holy Spirit, don't you?
Yes, yes.
How many of y'all think you just got it all together and you can just handle it?
I think we do with our pride.
We do with our pride, yeah. I got this. How many of us ever think that? Oh, I'm super Christian today. Well, you say, I'm super bad today. Is that what we think sometimes? We just got it. But don't we wake up sometimes and just we're just in the spirit and we just know we just got it together?
Oh,
we do, don't we? But then guess what happens 5 minutes later when something happens? The next thing you know, what happens to you? Well, yeah, you fall apart. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. That we got to recognize that we can't do this alone. Remember, what's one of the first things that they always tell addicts? And God bless them. But what's one of the first things that in order to recognize and to begin to get healed from your addiction, what's one of the first things you got to recognize? You got to admit what? That you're an addict. So it's the same thing with us. Before we can even begin to be successful in our daily walk with Christ, we've got to recognize that we can't do this alone.
Amen.
We can't. Can I get a witness, somebody?
Hallelujah.
But remember, we got to yield to the indwelling and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We got to. The Holy Spirit was ministered to me after service. He does that a lot for some reason when we after service and informing me. This is what he ministered to me last week. You know, the spirit can just talk to you at any old time.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
For some reason, he likes to talk to me when I'm taking a shower.
Yeah.
And I'm just reflecting on the study.
Yeah.
It's an amazing thing. God has a sense of humor. Y'all know that?
Yes.
He got a sense of humor. But anyway, getting back to the study, he was informing me that this is a deliberate act by the youth to put off the old man and to put on the new man, that displaying these types of characteristics that you see there, it's a process by which we have to do over and over and over and over again. Every day, we've got to practice this. It's a process to where it becomes ingrained in us, a term we in the Marines like to call muscle memory. What's muscle memory? Meaning that a process or an activity that you do so repetitively and train so much in it that it becomes instinctive and second nature to you, to where you don't even think about what to do when confronted in that real world or training scenario. You just do what you're supposed to do instinctively. It's a part of you. Muscle memory. And that's what the Spirit was ministering to me last week about, that the active and repetitive putting off the old man, putting on the new man, and these characteristics day after day so repetitively that it has to become second nature to us, that it becomes ingrained in us and so instinctive in us, so that it is a part of us that we no longer have to think about trying to put on a new man. Why? Because we instinctively do it every day. It has to become a part of us. In other words, it is a way of life. It is. It's a way of life. Christianity is a way of life. It is that, okay, Lord, I'm saved, and boom, then you just don't do anything. And then you say, well, I hope I can be filled with the Spirit today, or I hope that I can do this or do that today. No, it is an active process on your part. Remember, the promises of God does not cancel out your responsibility to act. You've got to act. God has promised us he's going to give us these things, but what's our part? We got to act, meaning put on, meaning that we have to actively and every day purpose in our heart to practice to live these types of characteristics. That's what he's talking about. We just do it. We put on a new man. And like I said, we do this without even thinking about it. And display these characteristics, like we said, even thinking without thinking about them. Why? Because they are a part of us now. Being influenced by who? By God, by the Holy Spirit. Absolutely. So just to recap before we get into verse 13, tender mercies, just to recap, or bowels of mercies in the Old King James is referring to having a deep and emotional affection, or I suggest a genuine care for people. You just got to care for people. A lot of that's missing in the world today. You just don't, you hear something, I don't care about them. I don't know them from a can of paint. I don't care. That genuine care for people is what's missing. But that's what he's saying. Tender mercies, or those bowels of mercies, it's just a genuine caredness for people. Kindness, we said, is goodness in action, goodness expressing itself in deeds. It's an overall expression of goodness in our action that shows no harm or ill will towards one another. Humility, or humbleness of mind as we're trekking along in the Old King James Version, is referring to a state of not thinking more about oneself than what you really are, while understanding our position in Christ. So don't think you walking around like you just the baddest thing since sliced Wonder Bread. That's what he's talking about. That humility. But some of us think, oh man, no man, we got this. And then what do? You know, you got your little walk going on. Yeah, man, I got this. Got a little diddly bop in your step because you think you got it all together. Until that diddly bop kind of trips up a little bit, and then next thing you know, oh man, woe is me.
That's right.
Like we said last week, and I want to repeat because of the significance of the issue, in that humility is the opposite of pride. Well, being prideful of mind, like we said last week, and I want to repeat it because I just think it's just so significant. Well, being prideful of mind lends itself to think more of self, what self did, what self is doing, and what self is going to do. You remember we said it before that sometimes we suffer from a disease? And y'all heard me say it before. We suffer from a disease. Don't y'all know that? Every single one of us at one time or another has suffered from this disease. Now you're probably curious, Pastor, what is it? Well, I'm going to tell you. It's I-itis and me-itis. We've all suffered from it from a now and then. But here's your antidote for I-itis and me-itis. The Word of God. And guess what? If you refuse to take this injection of the Word of God, well, guess what God is going to do to you? He's going to force you to get that injection. What do I mean by force? I mean that the Lord will come in with a direct hit in your life to where he will knock down that pride issue that's preventing you from putting him at the forefront of your life and then receiving that dose of humility that he's trying to give somebody up in here. Oh, we all suffer from pride, do we not?
Yes.
We all do from a time or two. But I always like to say, and y'all heard me say it before, for the Lord's chosen people, he has his way of getting your attention.
Oh, yes,
can I get a witness, somebody?
Amen.
Yes, he does. Amen. But where humbleness of mind, on the other hand, lends itself to think more of Christ, what Christ did, what Christ is doing, and what Christ will do. Meekness or gentleness refers to a condition of both the mind and the heart, which is a self-controlled temperament of the spirit. I really like that about meekness. It's a self-controlled temperament of the spirit. Self-control. It is a self-controlled temperament of the spirit. Lastly, from verse 12, the apostle lists the characteristics of long-suffering for the new man. It's that quality of self-restraint or patience in the face of provocation or in the face of troubles, and particularly those caused by others, which does not lead to retaliation or punishes quickly, but eventually can and will when the tolerance threshold level has been crossed. And we talked about this last week. Well, some of us have a short tolerance level, or we like to say a short fuse. Some of us have a very long fuse to where you are more tolerant or long-suffering than some others. Some people, you can just say one word to them, their long-suffering is gone that quick, and then the next thing you know, they're mouthing off about something. Others have long-suffering. But eventually, like we said, it can lead to where everybody has a tolerance level to where it has been crossed. And then what do you say? That's it. That's it. I know I'm the same way. I try to be as patient and long-suffering as I can. Lord, please help me. Hold me up, Holy Ghost. But when my threshold is crossed, that's it. Everybody has a tolerance level. Everybody has a threshold. Even the Lord God has a threshold. Read 2 Peter chapter 3. God is long-suffering towards us. There comes a point in time when he's going to say, you know what? That's it. I've had enough of sin. I'm done. But thank God you are called the redeemed of Christ so that you will not face the wrath of God. Can I get a witness, somebody?
Amen.
But I wanted to take that a brief excursion through verse 12 to set up the study tonight, starting at verse 13, as the apostle continues here to list those characteristics to where we are to put off the new man. Put on the new man, verse 13, chapter 3. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against one another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. Uh-oh. Bearing is forbearing in the Old King James Version, where in the Greek is meaning to put up with, to endure. Oh, man, how many of y'all have to put up with somebody? Come on, y'all. Everybody should say amen up in here, because Everybody once in a while put up with somebody. Yep, you see them coming. Oh, man, I got to put up with them. Oh, here we go. Brother Fitz, your hand still raised. Who you putting up with? You ain't got the mic on.
I just wanted to ask a question. When do we have to forgive? Do we have to forgive right away?
Question is, when do we have to forgive? What do y'all think? That's a good discussion topic. When do we have to forgive? Is that the question? When do we have to forgive? Go ahead. And I wanna answer that with a question. Go ahead. You get on the mic. People that listen online, man, they give me shade, man, because y'all be like, man, I can't hear it. There's a pause for like 2 minutes and we can't hear nothing.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
So I feel like it's a process. You can't just immediately come to the point of forgiving somebody. I don't think that it makes sense to just instantly forgive somebody. I think that it's a process of understanding like what set you off and trying to change yourself, trying to pray and ask the God to grow you so that you're not automatically popping off on people.
Okay.
So I feel like it's kind of more of a process in that it gets faster and faster, but it's not ever to the point where you're just like, oh, I automatically forgive you. No matter what you did, I forgive you. Boom.
Right. Okay.
I don't know.
All right. So, Fitz, what was that question again? What, under what? I just lost the question. Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
When do you have to forgive?
Oh, when do you have to give, or what do you have to forgive?
How long do you have to wait?
Yeah, or until
giving to give right away, or does it take time, or, you know,
should
you work on it? Because, to be honest with you, I had a problem with
forgiving. Will you put on the mic, man? I told you.
I had a problem forgiving my ex-wife for the things she has done to me, so it was I had to work on myself, you know, and it's still not all the way there, you know, so.
Okay, so let me answer this with a question, and I know I've got my notes. We was going to talk about that, but you kind of jumped ahead of me. So I'm going to ask you with this question, and I pose it out to the congregation. First question, does Christ put a condition on forgiveness? Does he put a condition on forgiveness? I will only forgive you if. But you did this to me, so I can't forgive that. Those are conditions. So does Christ put a condition on forgiveness? Second question. Does Christ tell you that you need to forgive? You need to forgive instantly. Or you need to forgive 5 years from now.
No.
Or you need to forgive 1 week from now.
No.
It's different with people, with depending on what happened to you, depending on the situation.
Different levels.
So whether or not the level has, depending on what someone has done to you, Christ is not really focusing on that. What he's focusing on is the fact that you need to forgive. How long it takes depends on you. But the fact of the matter is that you've got to get to that point to where you need to forgive. Regardless of how long it takes you. And I believe Christ understands that. And that's why I believe that Christ does not put a condition on, okay, I will forgive you if, or I will forgive you 5 years from now, or I will forgive you a week from now. Let me stew on this for a minute. Or you cut me deep to the heart. So Christ says, okay, so because they cut you deep, because your ex-wife has done this to you, okay, you can wait 5 years and then you can forgive. I just think it depends on the person. I think it depends on what has occurred. But I think what Christ was getting at is that you need to forgive. Why does he say it? Because he forgave us. Yes, Jeff.
because of the fact that tomorrow is promised to no one, I think we shouldn't delay or sit there and say, well, I'll just stew in it for a while. I mean, as quickly as we can work through it and get ourselves to forgive, since you don't want to die in unforgiveness.
Right. And remember, I'm not trying to say, okay, well, you need to stew on it and then, okay, then forgive. No. What I am saying is that it just depends on the person. We can sit here easily on the warm pulpits, on the warm pews, on a Wednesday night in a nice, comfortable building and say, okay, yeah, we're supposed to forgive. We need to forgive. But the reality of the situation is, what has happened to me that's causing me to forgive someone is different than what has happened to you that's going to cause you to forgive another person. There's a severity to what things have done to you. If someone has murdered somebody in your family, are you, reality in the human side of you, going to instantly forgive that person?
No.
That's just reality. And I'm dropping it like it's hot up in here tonight.
Yes, like it's hot.
That's reality. It's going to take time, y'all. That's the reality.
Amen.
And for you to sit there and tell me, yeah, okay, I'm going to forgive them instantly, right on the spot. Okay. You rock on with it. But for somebody, they may have a difficult time with forgiving them instantly right on the spot. That's just reality. That is reality. However, in keeping in line with God's word, we need to get to the point to where we need to forgive them. In order to heal. Oh, my ex-wife cut me deep to the heart too. Deep. My stepdad cut me triple deep. I moved away from home in 1984 and joined the Marines, and I still struggle with it today, and this is 2017. But the scripture says that I got to forgive. We can say move on. We say it like it's the easy thing to do. Oh, man, you need to move on. You need to get over that. But don't let what somebody think that you should do be the gauge and the judge on how you should handle that situation.
Amen.
You let the Holy Spirit deal with you on that. But again, you need to be receptive to the fact that we need to get to the point where we need to forgive. Oh, I've done some things to some people. But we all got to get to the point to be in line with Scripture where Christ says that we need to forgive. How long that takes depends on you. And that's between you and God. Some people can get over the instant. God bless our women, because y'all can forgive a lot quicker than the men can. But again, however long that takes, that just depends on you. Yes, Brother Don. That's what I said. Didn't I say that?
Mm-hmm.
I did say that, right? I just want to make sure I did say that. I did say that, right?
Okay. But you're not going to shut me up with that.
I'm still going to talk about it.
I wasn't trying to shut you up.
I had a great-granddaughter that was wanting me to run down the hall with her. And I did, and I tripped. And I went flat on my face. I ended up with some big bruises on my hands and knee, and her grandmother, my daughter, got on her case about you don't make somebody run faster than they want to go. So the little girl bursts into tears, and she's just crying her head off, and I forgave right away. I got her, she's 5 years old. I got her and I cuddled her and held her in my arms and patted her on the back, and it needed forgiveness now. So it all turned out okay. I lived through it, and she's going back to home and everything's cool.
See, but in his situation, He had the ability to forgive instantly in that particular situation. But in another somebody else's situation, depending on that person, they may not be able to possess the ability to forgive them right away. It's not saying that you can't forgive. It's just saying that it's a process that I need to get there in order to forgive that person. We all probably have somebody that we need to forgive because they have wronged us in some way. Some of us are probably still dealing with the forgiveness and probably trying to get to the point to where you can be released from this and then to say, yes, I forgive the person. Because not only is God working with you, He's working with the other person because they need to be released from whatever it is that has been done to that they did to you. So that not only is God working with you in forgiveness, He's also working with the other person. Because there's people out there that have done wrong and they are wanting forgiveness. I was listening to the proceedings on, you remember in Charleston, South Carolina, when the gentleman walked into the Bible study on a Wednesday and he killed and gunned down like 9 people. All Christian folk. One of the ladies, the wife of one of the people there, sat there in the courtroom and said that, I just can't forgive you right now. Yes. But wait a minute. Somebody just said we're supposed to forgive instantly. That woman has to go through a process to get to the point to where she can forgive that person. Even though the person doesn't show no kind of remorse whatsoever for the crimes that they have committed, that person, if they call themselves a child of God and living in line with Scripture, they've got to get to the point to where they need to forgive. We all have to. The Holy Spirit is really working on this subject because evidently somebody, this is a word for somebody tonight.
So we should have no expectation from the other person to forgive us. There's a situation I have in my own life, and I have forgiven this person, but this person hasn't come to me and said, hey, Lisa, I'm sorry for what I said and the way I acted towards you. So is that being wrong? That's still saying that I haven't fully forgiven that person then, because I'm expecting something in return from this person, but I doubt they ever will. But it saddens my heart that they can't come and say to me that, or to forgive, you know, say something.
Right.
I'm sorry for what I did.
Right.
So is that something that should be done? The other person should do something too?
Not necessarily. Because people will wrong you, and they will wrong you just for the meanness of the fact. And they will not show no remorse, nor will they come up and tell you that I'm sorry. They won't. We see it all the time. Look at all the killing. Guys, look at all the killing that's going on. There can be nothing more painful than a family member or being killed by somebody with them showing no type of remorse whatsoever. It's absolutely sad. But we as Christians, are we supposed to forgive?
Yes.
Absolutely. Should we expect an apology from them? The apology may not always come. So if you are living off an expectation, get this, as a condition for your forgiveness, I believe, based on the way I understand Scripture and Christ's teaching on forgiveness, that's not in line with God's word.
So then you have not forgiven that person.
It's not saying that you haven't forgiven. It's just saying that your expectation that you are trying to get from that person has not been met, and you're using that as a condition in order for you to fully forgive that person. And Christ is not teaching that, I believe. He's not teaching that, okay, in order for you to forgive In order for me to forgive Valentina for what she's done to me, my expectation is for her to come and tell me I'm sorry. Until she says she's sorry, that's when I will forgive. That's placing an expectation on the concept of forgiveness based on God's word. And I think that runs contrary to it. We're not always going to get I'm sorry, because someone has wronged you. But because we are to display that agape, unconditional love for our neighbor, as Pastor Anthony so eloquently taught on Sunday, that our neighbors include everybody. So if our neighbor has wronged us, Scripture says that we should forgive. Do we forget?
Not all the time.
Not all the time.
But isn't that part of forgiving, to forget also, so that you could go on with your own life? And isn't forgetting also a part of letting go and forgetting, so that you can go on and forgetting what that person has done to you?
I got you. Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, and that's a good point.
My ex-husband is just out there, and he's not forgiving. And I've forgiven, and I've let go of that. But what happens to him?
Right.
He doesn't.
That's a good question.
You got to let go of it.
Right. You have to let go.
You have to let go.
Absolutely. Do we forget? We possess the ability called memory. We don't forget. However, in keeping in line with your concept of forgetting, meaning that we need to forget it from the aspect of that it's not hindering our forward progress in our relationship with Christ, and in order to forgive the person. So if we are holding on to it to where, yes, we may have forgotten it, but we're dwelling on it because it's truly hindering us back from forgiveness, are we truly displaying the concept of forgiveness? Because we're still harboring something in our heart about it. We haven't fully let it go and released it yet. But you have said that you have released it. However, you still remember what he did. But forgetting, again, meaning from the concept of forgetting from the aspect of that it's not hindering you from totally forgiving that person. Does that make sense?
Yes. But what happens to that person who cannot go past where they're at?
Then that is on that person, and they have to deal with that themselves.
Okay.
That is not your concern.
Okay.
That is not your concern.
Can I continue to pray for their salvation?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. We should always pray. What did Christ say? Pray for our
enemies.
Absolutely. So, yes, you should definitely pray. And you know what? When you pray, don't you know that you are displaying forgiveness? It would be hard for me to pray for somebody who I haven't forgiven. So that means you've forgiven him. And I believe that's why Christ teaches us that we need to forgive. Because if we don't forgive, it holds us back from many things. And one of those things is, if we need to pray for that person, that's going to hold us back. If we need to release it, not forgiving is going to hold us back because we can't release it. If we need to move forward in our relationship and our walk with Christ, but this hindrance of not forgiving is holding us back, then that's something that we've got to work on. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I was always taught that forgiveness is an act of will, of your will. We do it because Jesus said to do it, not because we feel like it or because we think that the other person was right or that we're necessarily right. Jesus says if there's an offense, we forgive. And then the Holy Spirit, we leave the rest up to him to work on us, to help us with the healing from the offense. And, that's it.
So if we just, and I like the point that you brought up. So if we forgive, you just say, okay, I forgive you. Not only was it not that easy, but if we just say, okay, I'll forgive you. Have we truly forgiven a person?
No.
For the moment. What else can we do but say we forgive and then leave it to the Holy Spirit to keep working on us?
Remember one concept. God looks on the heart.
That's right.
We can say, I forgive, give you lip service and say, I forgive. But in my heart, I don't forgive.
But those are feelings.
It's not a feeling. You're basing the concept of forgiveness on a feeling. It has to be a concept of one to where you have truly, within your heart, have forgiven and released yourself from the guilt or the whatever this person has done to you. Yes, ma'am.
The way I've handled it.
Is that mic on?
I don't know.
It's on.
I believe that once you've walked up to that person and asked for forgiveness and you've given it with your heart, I then turn it over to God. I feel that I've done what I should do. And I don't carry that burden because I ask the Lord to take that from me. I've went to you, and I've asked you for your forgiveness. And I won't wear that burden. I hand it over to God, and I keep going, and I pray for that person. And I think that's all a lot of us can do. You can wear your own selves down by carrying the guilt. You say, I went and I talked to them, but you're still carrying it.
Because then you haven't fully forgiven. You haven't. God said in the Old Testament about Israel when they were worshiping and about their sacrifices that he just didn't want to receive them no more. He said, these people worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Yeah.
You can tell somebody that you forgive them, but your heart is nowhere in it. Why? Because you're just checking the box because Christ said, I forgive. Okay, boom, I forgive. Mm-hmm. You're just checking the box. I'm coming to church because Christ said, I'm coming to church. Boom, I'm just checking the box. I'm coming in, I'm going to worship the Lord, I'm just checking the box, boom, because Christ said that I need to enter his house with thanksgiving to his courts for praise. I'm checking the box.
Some things are larger than what we are, and we have to hand it over to the Lord.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why, for some people, it takes more longer than others to walk through the process of forgiveness. It takes some people longer. That's just the reality of it. And I believe Christ knew that. And that's how come I truly believe that he ain't put no time limit on when you need to forgive somebody.
Amen.
He just says you need to forgive. Forgive. Okay, well, when? When it is right in your heart and when you have truly forgiven with the help of the Holy Spirit, when you have forgiven that person, only you and God know when that time limit is.
Amen.
I can't tell you, okay, boom, oh, well, you need to go ahead and forgive and let it go. Forgive and let it go. You tell me to go pound sand because it ain't that easy for one and two. You don't know what the person has done to me. And how dare us to sit there and tell somebody who's been cut deep to the heart to tell them, well, you need to forgive and let it go. Mm-hmm. Let it go, Sister Jean. You need to let it go. It's a process, people.
Yes,
it's different for different people. For some, it may be instantaneous, and it can be. Brother Don, for some, it takes a while. It's like grief.
You can't tell a person how long they can mourn.
That's right.
It comes in your time.
It comes in your time. But Christ says, if we are a child of God, and I got you, Brother Christian.
He's a Brother Christian.
I am.
I got you, Brother Cameron. But Christ says that we need to forgive.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
If you put a time frame on it, wouldn't it be a problem? Because if you said it was 5 years, you could just wait 5 years and do nothing. You're not working towards forgiving them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why God has to work on your heart to forgive. He has to. Because again, what has cut you deep is different from what has cut me deep. And my process and God working on me for forgiveness will be different. Your timeline will be different from what God has for you. But it's the same thing with our salvation. It isn't a matter of when you come to that salvation. It's a matter of if you come to that salvation. The time frame of when someone will come to receive Christ will be different for different people. You can go up and start talking to somebody today and say, you know what? You need to receive the Lord as your Savior. I'm having that expectation right now that you're going to receive the Lord as your Savior. But the Holy Spirit is going to have to work on that person. They're going to decide between them and the Holy Spirit as to when they're going to decide to receive the Lord. You can't force them to say, you're going to receive. You better receive the Lord right now. Hell's fire and brimstone coming your way.
Don't work for me.
But some people do that. Try to proselyte them right on the spot. Sister Jean, you better come to the Lord right now. If you don't, he's going to hit you hard with an adversity so that you can come to the Lord. It don't always work with people like that. You can't force it on nobody. That has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's the same way with forgiveness. Oh, my goodness. It's the same way with forgiveness. I'm asking y'all to forgive me right now because we ran over. Some of y'all, I mean, it may be instant. Some of y'all, you may have to wait a little bit. But the point that we all need to make, and again, the Holy Spirit helped us right here because this is a word for somebody. Because somebody may be struggling with forgiveness. I think all of us, if we look back on our lives, I think all of us may be struggling with forgiveness with something. Christ said that we are to forgive. Why? Because he forgave us. God did not put a condition on the forgiveness for us. He didn't come to us and say, I'll forgive you if, or I forgive you except. He forgave all. While we were still sinners, he died for us. Yeah, we cut deep. People have wronged us. And I don't make light of that situation at all whatsoever. I don't make light of it. Not at all. But if we call ourselves a child of God, we've got to get to the point to where we must forgive. What's it say? Even so as Christ forgave you, you also must do. He didn't say must do when, must do if. Must do because, must do on the condition of, so you must do, period. Your time frame is different. Our walk with Christ is different, meaning that we grow in different maturity levels. So too is our forgiveness. But the fact is, again, as I'm closing, is that we must forgive. How long it takes you, that's between you and God. And I don't believe Christ puts a time limit on it. But as someone has said, that we don't want to die in that state to where we're unforgiving somebody. We don't want to. Christ forgave us. We too must forgive. Again, however long it takes you, that's between you and God. But let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart so that you come to that point to where you can say, yes, I forgive, and that you release it. And whether the person receives that or not, that's on them.
Amen.
That is on them. Christ didn't say, so you also must do if the person receives it. No. So you must do, period. and let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
This word was for somebody. I don't know who, but it was for somebody. Yes. Brother Don, thank you for your comments. No, I wasn't trying to silence you. You one of the pillars of the church, my friend, you and Miss Judy. I'd never do that to y'all. Never. Y'all have my utmost respect, and I would never, never do that. Never, never. I would never do that to you, sir. Not at all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we said at the beginning of our service that we said, Holy Spirit, have your way. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit had his way tonight. Lord, the concept of forgiveness can be hard. It can be difficult for some of us. For some of us, we can forgive right away on the spot. But for some, depending on the severity of the infraction that has caused us to be hurt, Father, well, that forgiveness may take a little bit. But Father, that's the time when we truly need to rely on your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts to help us get to the point to where we can look past what that person has done and just ask you to help us to forgive that person. If someone is in that spot tonight, Lord, I do ask and pray that they would truly surrender to you so that you can help them reach that point to be able to forgive that person and to forgive them wholly from the heart, not to give lip service, but then harbor the grudge. But, Father, to forgive and to completely release. Why? So that we can continue to move forward in our relationship with Jesus Christ. But most importantly, because you said, as Christ, you have forgiven, so too must we forgive. How long that takes, Father, that's between you and that person. But the point of the matter is, we pray that you will help that person tonight get to that point to where they can forgive. Father, we thank you. We love you. And all of this is part of putting on that new man as we grow every day in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him and him alone be the glory, both now and forever. And all of God's people.